The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Triple Threat Sports. For all your team outfitting needs, call Chris at 708-478-6090. Mariska's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. And Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, with locations in Burbank and Darien. Visit chuckscafe.com. Let's drop the puck. Welcome into this trade emergency edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. I am Jay Zawoski. I am alone tonight. Story of my college experience, but that's a different story for a different day. I wanted to wait to do this podcast tonight because I feel like a move of this magnitude needed some reflection and needed some time to think and take it all in and consider what it means instead of me jumping on recording something with the emotions of this whole thing fresh in my head. And I wanted to give you guys that gratitude, I guess you would. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. You know what I mean? I guess I don't want to give you something that's not completely well thought out. So here we are. It's 8:15 on Thursday night. The Hawks made this trade roughly 6 hours ago. I've had some time to chill out, had some time to think about it, had some time to think about what could be coming in the future. Now, last week, actually it was this week, I had a very frustrated day. By the way, before we get into my feelings, let's recap in case people don't know what happened and are just tuning in. The Blackhawks today made a major trade. The Blackhawks announced today, this is from the Blackhawks press release, that they have acquired forwards Marcus Kruger, Mackenzie Entwistle, Jordan Mileta, and defenseman Andrew Campbell, and a fifth round pick in the 2019 draft from the Coyotes in exchange for forwards Marian Hossa, Vinny Hinostroza, defenseman Jordan Osterley, and a third-round pick in the 2019 NHL draft. So there's the news of the day. The headline being the Hawks were able to rid themselves of Marian Hossa's contract. It took Vinny Hinostroza to make the deal happen, just as it took Teuvo Teravainen in the Brian Bickell deal. We knew all along, and we had talked about it, up until this point of the summer, that it was going to take a decent piece, probably, to move Marian Hossa. I'm a big fan of Vinny Hinostroza. I think for a guy who's probably a bottom six on a really good team, he did some good things, some things that he could be a replacement level or slightly below replacement level first or second line winger. I don't think he's ever going to be a 50, 60 point scorer, but I think you're looking at 40, 35, something like that. In his career, maybe with some better minutes in Arizona, you'll see his numbers go up a little bit. But I think here, he would probably start the season on the top line, but I'd be surprised if that would last. We're going to get to Hossa when James is back on next week, when we do our podcast early next week. There's a lot to say about Marian Hossa's time here. I think I used a term. I know for a fact I used a term. It was an honor to watch him play hockey, and I stand by that. But let's get to the newsy part of it. Okay, so Hossa's deal is gone. Hinostroza's gone with him. Jordan Osterley, say what you want about him. I was not the biggest fan of his. He was fine. He was the very definition of fine. I think losing him is not a big deal by any means, especially when you look at some of the guys the Hawks have coming up defensively, some of the guys they have in the system as well. I don't think there's a huge difference in Osterley or Gustafson or any of those kind of players. I think they're sort of interchangeable. So I'm not going to lose sleep over that. None of these guys the Hawks got from Arizona, aside from Marcus Kruger, we'll get into him in a little bit, are going to do anything anytime soon. The one you have hope for is Entwistle. Entwistle is 6'3", about 175. He's got some speed. He showed some scoring at lower levels, but nothing crazy. Not huge, like, pop-out-of-your-head numbers like you saw from Alex DeBrincat before he came up to the NHL. So a guy who maybe, if he fills out, he's only 18 years old, fills out and grows a little bit, maybe some scoring comes with that. So the main part, as far as this year, is Marcus Kruger. And while this story was breaking, we saw a lot of people sort of speculating what it could be. I mentioned on the last podcast the name Christian Dvorak. I think that was kind of wishful thinking in my end, but I had heard the name so many times from so many good sources that I said, okay, maybe this is finally what it took to get it done. They were definitely trying to acquire Christian Dvorak around the draft. They were trying to do it today. They could not get Arizona to give him up. Smart move by the Coyotes. Christian Dvorak's a really good young player. I wouldn't be trading him either if I'm a team like Arizona or really any team in the league. So not a huge shock. Marcus Kruger comes back, and while he's always been kind of like the diehard hockey fans, hockey player, he's not a guy who scores a lot of goals. He's not a guy who plays with a lot of flash, but he's very effective at what he does. And I was reading Sam Fell's blog on Faxes from Uncle Dale, and he sort of put it very well. He summed up Marcus Kruger's game pretty well and mentioned how last year Carolina and Arizona couldn't really figure out what to do with him. He spent a lot of the season in the AHL. Joel Quenneville knows the kind of player Marcus Kruger is, and I think he's going to be a guy who plays here all year. I think he's going to have a positive effect overall. I don't know if I would trade Hinostroza for Kruger one for one, so I can't say that the Hawks are a better team now than they were yesterday. But the bright side of this, if I'm going to try to, like I said last podcast, I'm always trying to find the positive. The positive effect here is if Marcus Kruger is anything close to what he was when he left Chicago 2 years ago, he's the kind of guy who can take some pressure defensively off of Jonathan Toews. Maybe Kruger handles those top line matchups. Another angle with this, with Jonathan Toews. With Hinostroza gone, there's no obvious choice for top line right wing. The two that come to mind for me are Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane. One of those two guys is going to have to move up to that top line right wing, unless you're going to put John Hayden there. I don't think that's very likely. So I think those two guys are the most logical choices. Both of them will have a better offensive output than Hinostroza. So I think that's going to help Toews' numbers go up a little bit offensively. Couple that with their lessened burden defensively, I think you'd see a bit of a bounce back from Jonathan Toews. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, 2010, 2015, 2013 Jonathan Toews, but I think you could see a little bit of a return to some of the scoring numbers we saw from him earlier in his career. And, 10, 15 more points from Jonathan Toews make that contract a lot more palatable. And I think you'd also see him, when not taking on those big defensive duties, you'll see him probably playing better and playing with more energy overall. So I like the Kruger acquisition mostly from the standpoint of wanting Jonathan Toews to be better and hoping Jonathan Toews will be better. And I think that is something that is somewhat realistic. I think that's something that could happen. Now, the Hawks have freed up cap space. With this trade, they save $4.65 million in cap space with this deal alone. They now have about $8.5 million of cap space on their projected roster. I'm going by what Cap Friendly says. So that's $8.55 million in cap space. You have Artem Anisimov, who could be traded, maybe not, but that's another $4.5 million that you could free up and try to make a move. The reason that I didn't want to do this podcast immediately was because I wanted to give this some thought, like what could be coming. I wasn't sure yesterday if anything was going to come. And if anyone saw my appearance on CLTV, you saw me sort of saying the same thing. Like, I don't understand this. I don't get what they're trying to do. What are Chris Kunitz and Brandon Manning and Cam Ward going to do for you at the end of the day? Now that this deal has been made and now that this space has been freed up, you almost have to think something's coming, something bigger. Now, most of the top-end free agents are signed already, but there's a couple veteran defensemen that you might want to keep an eye on. One is Tobias Enstrom. Another is Dan Hamhuis. And who is the other one? I'm going through my texts here. Speaking to a source earlier today, Lucas Spisa is another guy the Hawks have had eyes on and would make some sense, probably short-term deals. Reasonable money can help you shore up the D. I would say all of those guys probably count as fours or maybe low threes if you're going through, you know, one, two, three, four defensemen. I'd say those guys are all solid number fours. There's some other names out there as well. Those are the three I was told today. We also saw some rumors floating around, not for me, but from other people. I think the fourth period was the first to report. The Hawks have been inquiring about Jeff Skinner from Carolina and Max Pacioretty, I can never say his name right, from Montreal. I was speaking to a source today. Skinner, I'm told there's some validity to. They've been considering it. I don't know to what level their interest is, but Jeff Skinner is a guy who the Hawks have had some interest in this offseason, and we've all heard the stories about Justin Falk from Carolina. So those are two Carolina guys that the Hawks could look to bring in. And I'm going to look over at their roster sheet. Jeff Skinner has 1 year left on a UFA deal for $5.725 million. So that would be a one-year rental unless they thought they could bring him back. Justin Falk has 2 years left with a $4.83 million cap hit. So you're looking at, about $11 million. If they want to somehow bring in both of those guys, they could do it. They could find a way to do it. It would take moving Artem Anisimov to do it, but they could do it. Now, if you're bringing in Justin Falk and Jeff Skinner, or Jeff Skinner and one of those free agent defensemen I mentioned, now we can talk a little bit about having a better outlook towards the playoffs. So it's hard. It's really hard to get overly fired up about this. On paper, it's not exciting. On paper, it doesn't look great. You don't get a lot back. Statistically, you feel like you lost a better player in Hinostroza. But if you look at this sort of long view, long term, I think you have to sort of wait to see where this is going to go. There's definitely something that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or close to the start of the season, but you don't go and make this salary freeing move for no reason. I don't think they do that. I think that they have something in mind. Of course, ideally, this deal would have been done before the draft or before free agency started, but for whatever reason, it wasn't able to get done. Now it's done. Now they've got the cap space, and they've got to sort of scramble to see what's left on the market and what's available via trade. So I have to hold off grading this or really getting angry about it or overreacting about it until we see the final product. So again, Hossa is gone. Hinostroza is gone. Osterley is gone. The guy who's going to help the Blackhawks now is Marcus Kruger. That's sort of the long and short of it. So with that, I'm going to take a little break. And then when I come back, I'm going to answer some emails I got today. Thanks for listening to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Email the guys at madhousepod@gmail.com or follow them on Twitter at madhousepod.
The email segment is brought to you by our friends at Chuck's Southern Coverage Cafe. With locations in Burbank and Darien, visit chuckscafe.com. First email here comes from Ryan. He says, "Hey guys, I'm sure you'll get this on the next podcast, but this Vinny Hinostroza quote perfectly captures my frustration with Q over the years. This is Vinny Hinostroza today. This is a quote. It changed every night. As a young guy, there's a lot of pressure. You never really know what's going to be asked what to do that night. I'm excited to just be able to go in and play my game and not worry about stuff like that." End quote. Ryan continues, I've been giving Q the benefit of the doubt for years, but how much quicker would some of these guys be developing if he just left them alone? The only guys who seem to get defined roles are the Krugers and TVR types, whether they play well or not. Solid pros with little upside get run at the expense of guys with high ceilings. Man, this is frustrating. Ryan, good email. That is a quote. I saw that you had emailed, so I saved it for the email section. That's not shocking to me. It doesn't surprise me that Hinostroza was frustrated. I would assume if you asked Alex DeBrincat this over a couple beers or whatever, is he old enough to drink? I don't know. But over a couple Capri Suns, he would probably say that he was a little bit frustrated last year too. The feeling is, this team needs offense. I'm an offensive-minded player, and I'm not being used in that way. And not only that, it's one night I'm on the fourth line, one night I'm on the first line, then I'm on the third line, then I'm on the second line, and the coach wants different stuff from me every night. It's hard to settle into that role, or into any role, when you don't know what it's going to be from night to night. You don't know who your line mates are going to be, and you don't know what's going to be expected from you on a night-to-night basis. Very, very frustrating for Vinny Hinostroza. He expressed it today in a classy way. He didn't go out and, you know, rip Q or say, thank God I'm gone or anything like that, but showed some frustration with the playing time. And that's been one of the knocks on Q. And yes, he does have his guys. And once you are determined to be out of his, you know, not one of his guys, and you end up in his doghouse, it's very hard to get out. It's very hard. So I don't think Quenneville was a huge fan of Hinostroza's game. Hinostroza gets a fresh start in Arizona. Probably best for both parties, if that's the case. If Q is truly not fond of Hinostroza or his game, it'd be his game, not his personality. Hinostroza's a really good kid. But if Q is never going to believe, then what's the point? It's better for all parties involved to move on. Next email here from Ken Bockelman. He says, besides the obvious Game 5 overtime goal against Nashville, what are your memories of Hossa? The one that immediately comes to mind is his Hawks debut in San Jose. The Hawks lit up the Sharks 7-2, and I believe they had three shorthanded goals that night. He is the best two-way forward I've ever seen play. Simply amazing. First ballot Hall of Fame for sure. Ken, thanks for the email. Always appreciate your support. I love watching Marian Hossa play. I was on the score today after the trade broke with Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins, and we started talking about it a little bit. And Mac and I have a long history of working together during those cup runs, and we sort of went through that together, two Hawk fans going through that together. Marian Hossa, to me, is if you were to construct a hockey robot and say, this is exactly how I want you to play. I want you to be a top-end scorer. I want you to be a power forward that's hard to knock off the puck. I want you to be able to stick hand with one hand and hold off a defenseman with another. I also want you to be able to come back and back check as strong as anybody in the game. I want you to be an asset in the defensive zone. I want you to be able to play on the power play, on the penalty kill. Everything you asked Marian Hossa to do, he did it and was one of the best to ever do it. He was never a guy with explosive, huge numbers here in Chicago. He had big seasons in Atlanta and Ottawa, but as his game matured, his numbers kind of went down a little bit, but he was such a consistent two-way entire length of the ice player, one of my favorite guys to ever play the game. Love Marian Hossa. I'm very pleased that I got to see him have the most rewarding seasons of his career in Chicago. He will always be remembered as a Blackhawk, despite having better offensive numbers in other cities. When his bust goes up at the Hall of Fame, it will definitely be in a Blackhawk sweater, and that's where it should be. Absolutely love Marian Hossa. I think if I had to pick a moment, that first game in San Jose was it was great. And I think people forget his first year, 2009-2010, the cup year, he did not start the season until the holidays because he had a shoulder injury. Came back, that game in San Jose was an absolute force. Scored a goal. He caught a puck in the air and dropped it and batted it in before the puck hit the ice, and he scored. And that was sort of the arrival. Everyone had been waiting for Marian Hossa's debut for the first few months of the season. It finally came with a large buzz, with a lot of attention, and he totally delivered. So aside from seeing him hoist the Stanley Cup three times, obviously the Nashville Game 5 goal, those iconic playoff moments, that one moment, that first game, that first goal with the Hawks was an arrival, and I'll never forget watching that and how I felt watching that game. Next email from Michael Lev. He said, not that this would happen, but at least I'd actually be shocked with Hossa's contract off the books. Instead of kicking the tires on Pacioretty, Falk, Skinner, etc., who I still don't think they're close to contending even with one of them, is there a better time to actually ask some guys like Keith, Kane, etc., whoever, about their willingness for a trade? I truly think now, more than ever, the next move or lack thereof will affect this organization. Will be in 5 years, slowly on the rise again, perhaps, or post Datsyuk, Lindstrom, Detroit 2.0. Earlier today, I think I probably would have agreed with you. And as it felt like a let's wait 2 years and see what happens sort of a situation, I would have said, like, well, 2 years from now, who knows what's going to be left of Keith, Seabrook, Taves, and even Patrick Kane a little bit. And if that was the case, to wait 2 or 3 years to try to contend again, to really try to win, then I would have considered that. But again, I think today's moves are a precursor to something bigger, and I want to see what they are. I do think that well, I'm almost positive this is not the final roster entering a regular season. I really don't think so. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think that at this precise moment, I'm not ready to say that yet. Now, Stan Bowman obviously knows more about his plans than I ever will, or anyone ever will. If he's truly feeling like, okay, got some cap space to wiggle with, and then we'll just hold on to it during the season and wait to see till Yokoharu and Boquist and all these guys are ready, then yeah, I consider it. But if there's something coming and some, you know, one or two impact players are on their way, then I try to get what I can out of this core for the next couple years. Kevin emails, he said, guys, when I sent you the email back last month about Jay Beagle and making a run at him, I always put in there, want to bet they try for Kruger. Oh, well, too late. Can't call me Miss Cleo for predicting that trade. I didn't put it in there. I'm okay with this trade of Kruger if he can win faceoffs. So what do you think they will do moving forward? Make a play on offense or what they should do, or should they do a defender? I assume any trade will involve an Anisimov, but we talked about that. And does this open up the Hawks to try to make a run at Erik Karlsson? Yes, I know it's a pipe dream. Only way I would do that would be a sign and trade. Also, I'm totally on board with you guys watching younger players struggle. I'm on board with you guys. Yeah, I'm on board with you guys watching younger players play, struggle, and learn than watching the fill-ins who won't be on the team when it matters. Good point. Karlsson, I don't think they have the pieces to get that done. I really don't. I don't think they're going to, unless they're going to trade Yokoharu and Boquist and all these young players, and it's probably going to take Schmaltz or Hinostroza, I don't do it. He's great. There's no doubt about it. Best defenseman in the game right now, probably. I just don't think they have the pieces to make the deal without really, really hurting their roster. So, yes, having Erik Karlsson would be great, but you lose so much off the roster to make it happen. I think at best it's a wash. So I would not be looking to trade for Erik Karlsson right now. And again, he'd be a fool to not pursue free agency. So the idea of a sign-and-trade is pretty unlikely as well. So, yeah, I think Erik Karlsson's a pipe dream. But those names we said, Skinner, Spisa, those defensemen I mentioned, those are the kind of things you could be looking for here in the coming days and weeks. So we'll see. We got to let it play out. I know that's frustrating. I know it sucks to say that, and I don't want it to sound like a cop-out, but really, it would be disingenuous for me to get too fired up about this right now, as I truly do believe something bigger is coming in the future. But I want to thank everybody for their emails. I want to thank everybody for listening to the special edition. Again, James and I will be back early next week with a full-length podcast. You'll get James's take on this as well. I'm sure he's written about it for NBC5Chicago.com. I wrote about it today for 670thescore.com. So check out those pieces on the interwebs. Until next time, thanks for listening. The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast has been brought to you by Triple Threat Sports, Chuck's Southern Comforts Cafe, and Marishka's in Crest Hill, family-owned and operated since 1933. We'll talk to you next time on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.